And I like to give this example. Everybody understands this in the physical. When God brought me this woman up here 9 years ago, when God told me I was going to marry this girl, I thought, wow, she's gorgeous. She's beautiful. I wanted to put my hands on her and touch her, see if she's real. Y'all know what I mean? I wanted to put my arm around her. I wanted to hold her close. I still like to do that. Y'all know where I'm coming from? I never seen a woman that didn't want to be told by her husband that she was beautiful, right? Sure. I can remember as a young 23 or 4-year-old man when I got married to my wife, the first one, and we were married 41 years before she died, that I remember that when we were young and I had a nice Chevrolet car and they had bench seats in them back in those days, and everywhere we went, she was always sitting right here. She always sat in the middle, right against me, because she loved me. Y'all know what I mean? And she wanted to be close to me, and I love her to be close to me. I love to put my arm around her and all that stuff, just like I do Cheryl now. I love to do that. Well, see, that's what's wrong with us with God. We do not spend enough of that intimate time with God. And by not spending the intimacy with God, then He don't give us this power. Cheryl told me, whenever God brought her to me 9 years ago, He gave her a dream, gave me a vision within 24 hours of each other, that we were to marry each other. Now, I'd never had a date with her. She'd never had a date with me. We had never went out. I never even thought about getting married. This was the furthest thing from my mind when God told me I was going to marry this woman. He told her she was going to marry me. So that night that I asked her, now I had never held her hand, and I asked her why she wanted to work for me, and she said, well, I can't tell you. It's too personal. I said, no, I want to know. If God told you something about working for me, I want to know what He said. Well, she said, Pastor, last night I had a dream or vision or whatever. God showed me I was not just working for you. I was married to you. I said, well, this morning God woke me up and spoke to me audibly, told me you were going to be my wife. So I said, how would you like to come to work for me as my full-time helpmate? And she reached across the table where we was having a cup of tea together and put her hands on my hands and said, I would love it. And that's the first time I'd ever held her hand in my life after I was engaged to her. Now, that's not the way everybody does it, is it? But you know, if you're serving God and God wants you to have a mate, He'll send you the perfect one. Cheryl had prayed many times and put a list. She said, Lord, I need a husband, but I want a godly husband. She said, I've had two husbands in the past, and not either one of them was very nice. They were mean to me and done all kinds of things. And so she told me later, she said, I now know why I couldn't get along with either one of these other men, because she said, I didn't know how to submit to either one of them. She said, I didn't know I was supposed to submit. But see, a woman that never learns she has to submit to their husband, she'll never find a man she can live with. That's why we have so many marriages and divorces and marriages and divorces. We don't learn, we have to submit. Well, God tells us we have to submit to Him if we want to get anything from Him. Submit to me, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. But if you're not submitted to God when you resist the devil, he'll hurt you. He really will hurt you. So now then, I want to take you to this scripture in verse 21 of Matthew 18. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me 7 times? Now, I want you to think about this. Who in the world has ever offended you and you had to forgive them 7 times in one day? I mean, I hope you wouldn't be like me, that, you know, after somebody offends me the third time, I'm probably going to slap them in the chops. Probably so. We sure are not very good at this 7 stuff, are we?
No.
So we would think that if we're told by the Lord to forgive 7 times in a day, that ought to be standard procedure, right? You know, so somebody messes me up, I just, okay, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you. But nobody does that. We have so little word in us, it's impossible for us to forgive even 7 times. We'd rather hold a grudge. You know, I'll get even with you. You see signs on the back of the car, Smith and Wesson, I get even. You ever seen those signs? Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the way the world lives. That's not the spiritual people of God that live like that. But Jesus, whenever Peter asked him, if I forgive 7 times, Jesus said, no, not 7 times. But 70 times 7. Oh, my goodness. All day long, I got to forgive you up to 490 times. Now, do you think he means that? Now then, let's think about this. If God, that's who's talking here, Jesus. If God tells us we are to forgive 490 times, there must be something extremely important about forgiving. Do you ever think about that? Otherwise, why would he tell us to do something like this? I think he knows there is a result of some kind down the line that if we don't forgive, we're going to pay a consequence that we don't want to pay. And let me tell you, if you'll listen very carefully in the next few minutes, a lot of you in here will find out why you are sick, why your spouse is sick, why your children is sick, or why you're broke in the financial world. That pretty well covers everything, don't it? But I can tell you, this is where it's at, right here. Nobody wants to be broke. Well, how about cancer? Who wants to be sick with cancer all your life? Who wants your children to be sick with cancer all their life? Nobody. Who wants their spouse to be sick with cancer and die early? Okay, this is why the Lord told us to forgive. Because let me show you what happens. If you ever get this in your spirit, if this ever becomes a revelation to you, these next few verses I'm going to talk about, it don't make any difference what happens. Somebody could come up to you and knock you out. And you'd get up and say, "Brother, I forgive you." So let's say Tommy's sitting up here. He comes and just knocks me out. I mean, just hits me in the cheek, knocks two teeth out. I fall down on the floor. Now, the average man that hits that floor, what's he going to do? He's going to get up and go to fighting, isn't he? But I jump up and say, "I forgive you. And I totally forgive you. I don't, whatever I did that made you mad, I repent and I ask you to forgive me." That's exactly what Jesus is talking about in this scripture. We don't know it. We don't believe it. We don't see it. So we just attacked whoever attacked us, not caring what's going to happen to everybody and everything around us. But there's people, their children are sick, their mates are sick. I mean, I've seen children with terminal cancer and everything else because of this scripture right here, where he says, "No," Jesus replied, 70 times 7. It's so important that you and me as Christians forgive everybody, because there's a consequence to be paid, and it's not just going to be us. When I learned this scripture, and I have no telling how many times I read this before this became a revelation to me, but when it finally did, I went to hospitals. In fact, I'll tell you a quick one. 15-year-old boy, Cook's Medical Center, many years ago. I got there, and the daddy was there. The doctor just giving him a chemo treatment. I asked the doc, I said, "Doc, what is his chances?" And he said, "Not good. He may not make it." This is a 15-year-old boy. I mean, at 15, are we supposed to be healthy? Yes, there's not supposed to be no sickness in this body at 15. Ain't supposed to be no sickness in this body ever. God didn't create us to be sick. He bore our sin and bore our sickness and removed our disease on the cross for the church. We don't understand that. But anyway, I asked the dad, "Where is your wife? Is the boy that critical?" And he said, "Well, we're not getting along too well." In other words, they have an unforgiveness toward each other. Now, how many times did God tell us to forgive? Oh, not just 7 times, right? 490 times. Oh, I mean, the flesh, it only has to have somebody say something to it just one time. You know, I might say, "There's Sharon. You look at that crazy. Don't she look terrible in that blue sweater this morning?" She'd say, "What? I thought that's beautiful." And she said, "I don't like Pastor no more. Do you hear what he said about me?" Is that the way we are? I mean, some little something derogatory, we don't like it, and so then we get that puffed up. If I do that 30 times a day and say, "I don't like that sweater," you should say, "Well, praise God, I forgive you." These things are so important. And this young man and his wife, I told him, I said, "If your son is that critical," I said, "can you please call your wife and see if she'll come down here? I want to talk to you and her together." And so he called her. And when they come down, I told them something they didn't either one ever think about hearing. I said, "Now, you two obviously have got a grudge against each other. Is that right?" "Yes, we have." I'm going to show you in the Word of God where it says that if you hold this grudge, it's going to have a tremendous consequence. And I said, first of all, you're supposed to forgive each other not one time, but 490 times. And she thought I was crazy, but I showed it to her in the Word. Did Jesus literally say that in the Word? Yeah, 70 times 7. So I told him, I said, "Now that I found out y'all have this grudge against each other, this unforgiveness," I said, "God has sent a tormenting spirit to your son." Well, that didn't go over very well, but I said, "That's what's happening. That's why the boy's sick." Now, I took him through the scripture, and I'm going to take you right through it just in a minute, show you these same things. But I told them up front, I said, "Y'all want your son to live or die?" Well, I said, "Well, we want him to live. That's why we got him down here in the hospital." I said, "But the doctors are not going to be able to heal him as long as y'all still got this unforgiveness toward each other. Doctor said he didn't think it was a chance. If you two will forgive each other, and if y'all will kiss and make up and tell each other, 'I forgive you, and I love you, and I want to be your spouse, your mate, all of my life,' I'm going to guarantee you when I pray for your son, he's going to get well." Now, you want him to die or you want him to live? They said, "Well, we want him to live." I said, "Then you only have one alternative, and that do what God says." So they repented to each other. They hugged and kissed. And I said, okay, now then. I said, Father, you made me a promise in Mark 16, 17 and 18. Let me show you what God says in Mark 16. Under the new covenant, this is for you and me. And these signs will accompany those who believe. Now we need some believing believers, because the Lord says, and these signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. Now then, if we are sons and daughters of God, we have been given all authority over these demonic spirits. They're the one that's making us sick and doing all these things. God made them for this purpose. He said in His word, He made everything for His purpose, both visible, invisible, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. Everything was made by Him and for His glory. So if a demon is there, God made it. Ain't nothing here that He didn't make. Yeah, God's in control. Ain't nobody else in control. The devil, he's just a peanut. He's not in control. He said, they will cast out demons in my name. They will speak with new languages. They will be able to handle the snake or the serpent with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place hands on the sick and heal them. That's written in my Bible. You know, and if it's written in my Bible and written in your Bible, then I'm just crazy enough to believe that God meant what He said. And I laid hands on the boy and prayed for the boy, and that was in the afternoon. And the next afternoon, within 24 hours, that daddy called me and said, Thurman, we are leaving the hospital right now. My son, they just told him there's not a cancer cell in his body. He is completely well. They said that last chemo treatment really done some real work. Well, it wasn't a chemo treatment. It was Jesus. They obeyed God's word. They did what God said. Once they did what God said, and the source of the demon's legal right to the boy had been removed, then when I laid hands on that boy and commanded that devil to leave, what did he have to do? He had to go. You know what the church ought to be doing? If we see somebody that's not feeling well or kind of crippling around, as a Christian, what should we do? Should go up to him and say, could I pray for you? Could I just lay hands on you and touch you in the name of Jesus?
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop our program here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled So Important to Forgive Everyone, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online, or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.